Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight it's a pleasure to welcome back to our studios here in beautiful downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, the one and only, the incredibly famous and talented. Do you get that introduction often, Christo?
More than you can imagine, especially for my fiance.
Christo Conducti is the conductor, or music director, I should say, of the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra, or NABSCO, as it's abbreviated. And we've had the pleasure of having you on the show several times in the past, but this is a special one, talking about an event coming up in just a couple weeks at the McVinnie Auditorium on May 22nd. You have a special performance, right?
It is a performance not to be missed.
And you'll be there in person. People have the opportunity to buy 8x10 glossies of you in the lobby.
With autographs, too.
There you go.
No, but I'll give you one for free, of course.
All right. What a deal. So, Christo, tell us about the orchestra and what it's been up to in the last several months since we've seen you.
Well, as COVID rules have been relaxing, the orchestra has been coming back with a bang. And for this last performance, you're really going to feel the bang in the music. I mean, it starts out with Duke Ellington's The Suite from the River, which most people don't really know Duke Ellington's foray into the classical music world, right?
That's not your first thing that comes to mind. You think of swing music or, you know.
But The Suite from the River was originally a ballet and orchestrated by one of the Duke's colleagues. But with his instruction, it is incredible music. It's finally a way for the orchestra to move their hips
get
that big band, you know,
their adjustment in their seat.
Absolutely. But also for the audience.
Is it more fun for an instrumentalist to play something like that, or is that a tough call?
It becomes more fun, mm-hmm. but at first, you know, how to handle swing rhythms is an interesting challenge, because an orchestra musician is very used to a certain language, right? And being fed that and translating that through their instrument. And this music requires so much more. You really need it to feel the groove in your body in order for the music to come alive. Even more so that it's a ballet.
Okay. And it's called the River Suite. And this is going to be part of the program presented on May 22nd. We're going to have a special guest join us in the second segment of our program here tonight to talk about another part of it. And then at the end, we'll be talking about another segment. So three very different pieces of the program.
But in no way interrelated. I mean, the Duke was a fan of Gustav Mahler, if you can imagine. We're ending the program with Mahler's monumental Fifth Symphony, okay, which is like climbing three Mount Everests for an orchestra. It is I'll talk more about it, but it is a journey from life to death.
All right. Let's talk
about... from death to life.
Death.
From darkness to light.
Oh, okay.
So, which I think captures the whole COVID journey that we've all been on.
It's not usually a phrase you hear, from death to life. It's usually the other way around. But we'll find all about that. Let's talk about the orchestra for a moment. This is your first performance since COVID, or you've had...
No, we've had a few this season, actually. And if you ask the orchestra members how they've sounded this year, many will say the orchestra has never sounded better in its entire history. And I think that has to do with not playing during COVID for so long. There's so much energy that's been...
The enthusiasm to come back and actually be able to be there in person and be with your cohorts and get that music out to the audience.
Well, and it's a community orchestra. It's not a professional orchestra, but I think that's a benefit, because people show up to rehearsal not to receive a check.
Right.
Because simply they want to be there. And you know, when you're in a room of full of people that want to be there, it's a completely different spirit and energy.
Absolutely. You see that every day in lots of kinds of music. But I know in my kind of music, the same way, same thing happens. When you have that enthusiasm, you want to be there, you want to do great, you want to always be at the top of your game right. versus, look at the time, I got to go now.
There's an openness to, the way I like to think about it, there's an openness to transformation and a kind of vulnerability that you wouldn't find as easily in a professional setting.
Okay, and this is going to be May 22nd. What time of day is this going to be?
It's 3 p.m.
3 p.m., so it's in the afternoon at McVinney Auditorium. And if you haven't been to McVinney Auditorium yet, you should get there. It's a great spot. Great, as I call it, creature comforts for the audience because great lines of sight. There's not a bad seat in the house. You can sit in the very last row, which I've actually done, or you can sit in the first row, which I've done. And it's very comfortable. It's free parking. That's a huge thing, downtown Providence. Free parking. So get to McVinney Auditorium and support the symphony on May 22nd. Let's talk about this Duke Ellington piece that we're going to listen to and tell us why you chose this piece.
So this is the first movement of the River Suite. And in preparing for this work, the Duke studied the water music of many composers like Debussy, Lemaire, Handel's Water Suite or Water Music. And so you hear these elements of, the way I like to think of it is almost like an archaeologist studying the diet of a dinosaur by looking at like the teeth and the what's left
right.
in the fossil. And you can, in a sense, be a musical archaeologist and study what was in the diet of Duke Ellington in writing this music and what he might have been listening to, while also feeling the urge to get up and dance. I think one of our musicians quite seriously asked us if we would invite the audience to dance if they feel like it in the aisle, even though I think that is a fire code hazard.
But it is great for that kind of mood to be set. So let's listen to this piece, and we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with our special guest.
Thank you.
The Narragansett Bay Community Symphony Orchestra is the subject of today's Conducting Conversation. I'm Mike Mano. Christo is back with me, and we welcome a special guest in this segment. She plays the viola. Her name is Consuelo Sherba, and she is going to be the featured artist on the concert that Christo and I were talking about on May 22nd at McVinnie Auditorium. Christo, why don't you kind of introduce her and give us a little background?
So we're thrilled to have Consuelo with us for this concert. She's been involved with the orchestra for a while, right, in coaching and in many other ways.
Well, yes. I actually remember, but I don't remember exactly when, shortly after this orchestra was formed, my husband Charles Sherba and I had performed the Mozart Sinfonia Concertant with this group. Pretty sure. So that's a long time ago. But otherwise, I've been coaching chamber music groups, and it's always a wonderful, enthusiastic group of people that, you know, spend extra time because they love it and they really work on it. And it's always wonderful to work with them. I just worked with them a few weeks ago.
Right.
I'm so glad. Christo, yeah. what will her part be in this concert?
Well, Consuelo is going to be the heroine of all violists and play the Rebecca Clark Sonata, which you might not know, Mike, but every violist on the planet Earth is very.
My cousin Yo-Yo might know about it.
Even he might not know. But it is a piece that is like second nature to all violists. And we're playing a special orchestrated version of it because it's typically just viola and piano. And a few years ago, the Rebecca Clark Society, which happens to be based in Boston, commissioned an orchestration of the viola sonata. So now it's a viola concerto. And
right.
Consuelo will be leading it with the orchestra. I think it's going to be the premiere in Rhode Island.
I think so. And it's certainly the premiere for me doing this version. I've never done this version before. I've played the sonata many times. But I'm really looking forward to this orchestration. And I think it makes a lot of sense. It's such a colorful work. It's full of impressionistic sounds. And looking at the orchestration and listening to it, it's quite amazing, you know, using the woodwinds and all these different sounds that all would have been taken care of in the piano part. It's the reverse, right? It's the reverse process. Oftentimes you hear a concerto with the orchestra and then there's a piano reduction. And so you try to make that work. But this to go from the piano part to expand it out, it's really has to be a very sensitive composer's work.
Excellent. Consuelo, a lot of people in the Rhode Island area probably know of your work and have been listening to you for quite a while because you're at Brown University. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. I've been there for, I believe, 35 years, maybe more.
That's amazing.
More.
So child prodigy, you started at Brown when you were 8.
Right.
Teaching.
Teaching, exactly. Teaching, right. So I really was. Yeah, we came as a string quartet in residence a long time ago, and I think it was about, 35, 36 years ago. Hard to imagine. But since then, we did a lot of different things. Lost my husband 8 years ago, but we started a string a group called Aurea after the string quartet kind of dissolved from Brown. We started this group with poetry and words and music, and mm-hmm. we had these wonderful friends, just so happened, Nigel Gore, actor, and Chris Turner, who's an actor and a harmonica player, incredible, brilliant harmonica player who knew a tremendous amount about classical music. And we were all crazy enough that we all loved each other's disciplines. And we were constantly, Nigel Gore was my neighbor, and it was just, had no idea. We just walked in and there we were. And, oh, could you come, you know, give me some ideas about, you know, maybe music that I could use for background and if it could need. And so little by little, we did some things, and then we decided we're forming a group. And it was an experiment. Mm-hmm. About 20 years ago, we called it Albion's Tears. That was the first program we did. And it was just some, the Passacaglia of Rebecca Clark. We did some Vaughan Williams. We did Andrew Marvell's poetry. We did, and that's all. Nobody knew what to expect. A poem, piece of music. Poem, piece of music. And we made it so that the threads, there was no talking in between, no explanations in between. And people loved it.
Yeah.
And so we thought, well, you know, we're going to do more of this. And so, you know, we put it around a little kind of thing like, I think we can put this concert on if we get a little grant. And now it's been 20 years and about, and we're doing much bigger projects, things with Festival Ballet and collaborations. And now
sounds like we need to have a show of your very own coming up here soon.
I think
soon.
So. I'd love to.
Well, let's get back to what's happening on.
Well,
May
Mike
22nd.
Is a natural poetry reader, so it works perfectly.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
So, what music do we want to play at this point in time, Christo?
It's the Clark, for sure.
Going to, all right, we'll play that. And Consuelo, I want to thank you for coming in today and sharing that little piece with us, and hope to see you back here on Conducting Conversations some other time.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
We'll listen to this right now, then take a short break and be back with more of Christo and the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra.
Thank you.
The Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra, or NABSCO, is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, pleased to be sitting with Christo and talking about all the different things that are going to be happening on May 22nd. And I want to thank Consuelo for her part in that last segment. And that should be an interesting presentation. Like you mentioned, three pieces that are different yet belong together.
Absolutely.
Is the way I think is a good way to phrase it. So at McVinnie Auditorium.
Well, what's more American than that?
What's more? There you go. That's right. It's a great way to do things. Things that belong together. Birds of a feather. Christo, let's talk a little bit more about the orchestra itself. In the first segment, we talked about the fact of how enthusiastic people are to get back performing again. And does the orchestra consist of about 40, 50 people?
I will be over 60 people, at least in this concert.
Over 50. Wow, that's a good size, particularly for the stage at McVinnie. It's going to fill it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to bring the roof down, I think, probably.
That's right. Well, that'll be a good thing. And you mentioned also that it's not a professional orchestra. So does that mean that people have the opportunity to join you? And how does that work?
Well, we're definitely taking auditions. The best way to do it is to sign up online on our website at nabsco.org. That's nabsco.org.
Okay. And they can also find out all the information about the May 22nd concert and how much tickets are. How much are tickets?
So we operate on a very fun model of pay what you think is fair. So we leave it up to you to judge how much a ticket should cost.
So wait a minute. So people can pay whatever they like.
Whatever. Yes, exactly. We used to charge ticket prices, but it's hard to put a price on something like an orchestral music concert, mm-hmm. In terms of what kind of product it is. So we thought we would adopt a model that was much more accessible to a wide range of people, but while also allowing people to define the value of their takeaway from the music. At the actual concert.
But they pay for it in advance, right?
They can. But a lot of the time, it's people that have at least experienced the orchestra at one point. And it's very interesting. So it starts at $1. We have people that will pay $100 for a ticket.
Right.
Whereas before, it was $20 per ticket at a set price.
Right.
So I think the average has come out to something like $40 a ticket. It's
really?
More than when we set our own prices.
Really? That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Well, that's a great tribute to you and the orchestra, obviously, that people find that value and say, hey, you know, you weren't charging enough. Here's some more. Which is always good because most people that are not in the nonprofit music business don't understand that ticket prices are a portion of what it cost to run an organization like yours, and
absolutely.
Then there's other benefactors that come in, other donations and grants and things like that, right?
Well, and the greatest aspect of it is to increase and promote accessibility for people, and the ticket prices are just one major way of doing it.
Yeah, and so is there a particular time of the year that auditions are good, or is that kind of...
We do it on a rolling basis, so right now, if you are especially a string bass player... or a cellist, we definitely need you.
Okay. And so is that in my world, it's always looking for a tenor.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
Okay. So that's where the where the money is, right? And do you have monthly rehearsals, or how does that
work? It's every week, every Monday evening at the Rhode Island Philharmonic School.
Okay, on the east side.
Exactly.
At the Carter School, right?
At the Carter Center, exactly.
Yeah, Carter Center. All right, so that's every Monday, and if you're available and you'd like to take that on, can people stop in and just check it out first, or how does that work?
So we will invite people to either send a video audition, mm-hmm. especially during COVID, or do an audition right before a rehearsal, and then invite them to participate in the rehearsal as a kind of try it out, see what
All
you
right.
think.
So if I have my kazoo, I can go down there.
There are some repertoire. There's some repertoire with kazoo.
I've got a shot. And do I get, is there cookies and milk after the rehearsal or no? No. Huh?
Unfortunately not.
No, okay. All right. Well, I didn't know what you might provide.
Sometimes. Right. but I will say it's like that pop song. It's all about the bass. It's all about that bass.
Definitely,
if you play string bass, we need you.
That's the most important thing. The bass is always the most important. And
you wouldn't know about that, right, Mike?
Well, let's see. Now, this is the last concert of the season, so to speak. There will be a season, starting in September, October, something like that?
So we'll be announcing the season soon, but usually the first concert of a new season is in October.
Okay. Yeah. So that means
four concerts a year.
Sounds like you have to come back to make the announcement.
I can't wait.
All right. So it's not.
We have some really cool things in the works for next year.
It's not ready now. We can't scoop you, right?
Not yet.
No. Okay. So you're going to have to come back and tell us what that's going to be. Well, we look forward to that. Let's get into this last piece of music that we're going to listen to. I think you have quite a bit to tell us about this Mahler piece, right?
Gustav Mahler is one of those composers that, at least for me, is. I have a personal affinity for this man's music. I don't know how much you might know about him, but he is at the core of how, at least classical music, how Western classical music has evolved over the last century. He was the music director of the Vienna Philharmonic and Opera during its golden period. He also was the first music director of the New York Philharmonic, and he built it, basically, or helped build it, when it was the New York Philharmonic Society. In the early 1900s. And his music has also been a source and resource for how film orchestral music has evolved. Mahler is the... It's so hard to capture what his music is about because it's about life, about spiritual life, about literal physical life, about nature, about what one has had to deal with, especially the struggles with death. He was a composer obsessed with death. He lost 6 siblings in his childhood, all younger than him, to various kinds of diseases. There was this quote of him in a letter to about his mother saying that she was either pregnant or a coffin was leaving the house.
Wow.
As a child. And then when he was older, another brother of his committed suicide, and in his suicide note wrote, "I'm handing my ticket back to God." So death was a very personal experience for Mahler, and a lot of his music deals with coping with that and preparing for it in his own right. Around the time of the Fifth Symphony, which is what we're going to perform, or soon after, he lost his own daughter, five-six-year-old daughter, to death, to scarlet fever. His wife was cheating on him. He was diagnosed with a fatal heart condition. And he was ousted from his post in the Vienna Philharmonic, pretty much for being ethnically Jewish. And so the idea of not just a literal kind of death, but every other kind as well, is in his music. And he writes his life into his music. I like to think the first movement of the Fifth Symphony, it's a funeral march. I like to think that every theme in that symphony is a kind of in that movement is a kind of homage to his family, his siblings.
Was this written when he had come to New York at that point?
No. Before.
Okay.
Not too long before, but our early 1900s. Mm-hmm. And the whole symphony, it's 5 movements long. It's 1 hour and 20 minutes in total length. It is a feat to survive both as an orchestra and as an audience member. And it starts from this place of total darkness, like I said, funeral march, and slowly makes the journey to light or a resolution. It's almost a way of dealing with grief. It's a great lesson just listening to this piece. What sets it apart from other symphonies as well is that the third movement is the longest movement. It's almost half an hour long. And it's the scherzo. Typically, it's the shortest movement in the symphony. Scherzo means joke.
Right.
And it's usually dance music. And the scherzo in this piece is so, I don't know, it's a literal bridge
intense.
Between darkness and light.
Right.
And it is that bridge.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's a dance hones it in emotionally. And the last movement starts with this. What the audience today is going to hear is the fourth movement, the Adagietto, which is the most famous music from the symphony. It's literally a kind of dream. He wrote it as a kind of love letter to his wife, who was 20 years younger than him, by the way. And you hear that in the music. It's just like this, almost like a break from all the darkness in the first two movements. And it's just strings and harp. And it's the kind of music that if you're listening to this now, just go get a glass of wine, put your feet up, and just close your eyes and swim through what you're about to hear.
Well, a great description, and thank you for that, Christo. And it sounds like a program that everyone should get out and support and check out. We're going to listen to that piece, which is a little bit lengthy. We'll listen to that, but I want to thank you for coming in today.
Absolutely.
And thank you for bringing Consuelo with you, and that was very interesting. And we look forward to the next time you're back, and tell us about next season.
Can't wait.
All right.
Thanks,
everyone.
So much,
make sure you check out May 22nd at McVinnie Auditorium for the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra. Go to nabsco.org for ticket information and any other questions you might have. Thanks for listening. We'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations. Thank you. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.